Thank you to the band for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning to all of you and happy Thanksgiving week. This may be the last chance that I will see many of you this week to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. So I do wish you a great break, time with your family, friends, and travel or whatever you're doing. And may you return rested and renewed and ready to finalize the last few weeks of this semester. This chapel's theme this year is real life, and I think one of the most pointed scriptures that draw us to this real life is Solomon's writing in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." Solomon knew a lot about timing. He tells us there exists an appointed time for everything under heaven, and then he lists some examples: birth, death, planting, reaping, weeping, laughing. We do not control the timing, but we recognize it and we respond to it, and we need to align our will and our action with God's timing. So as I introduce Stu Smith this morning, and Stu, come. I'm going to ask him to come join me. Stu also knows a little bit about timing. He was dean of men on our campus for 7 years. He coached basketball with his father for 2 years. He's been involved in student development and campus ministries for 12 and a half years on our campus. The past 3.5 years, he's been chaplain. Way back when, he was even a student here, and I won't even say when that was. But he knows Asbury, and he's been through a number of seasons in our Asbury experience. Well, Stu is embarking on another season in his life. At the end of this academic year, he will be transitioning into our Institutional Advancement Office. Stu and I started talking months ago, maybe 4 or 6 months ago, and he really felt that God was calling him into a new season. And so he's been praying and listening, and I've been joining him in that. And so he's really felt that this is the direction where God's calling him into a new season among Asbury College and still working with us. But we wanted you to know this early because he's going to begin the first of the year in transition into his new responsibilities. He will still be our campus chaplain. He will still be involved in campus ministries, but he will also be involved in transitioning into a new role. And so I wanted him to stand here and join me so that I could, in this week of Thanksgiving, thank him for the wonderful seasons, that the ways in which he's responded to God's calling him about ministry on our campus, and he's calling him into a new season, still being in ministry among us on this campus. And so I thank you, Stu. I thank you personally for the role model, the mentor that you have been and that you are, the great chaplain, the great man of God, and your witness, not only on our campus, but throughout the world. And so in his new responsibilities, he will be touching many people in new ways as he would be traveling some as well. But I would like to pray with you if I might do that. So let's pray again. Jesus, we do thank you for life. We thank you for real life, and it is ever-changing. We thank you that you continue to call us into new seasons, and we enjoy that. We embrace that. And while I've already said that we cannot control that, we thank you, Lord, that we know that you are in control. And so we thank you that you help us to realize and understand when you are tugging at our heart to step into a new season. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be very near and real and present with our friend and beloved chaplain, Stu Smith, in these months ahead as he begins in this transition. I pray for you to be with our students, our faculty, staff, and administration. We thank you for what this means in the lives of all of us. And Lord, we know that we can trust you. You never call us to step into a new season that is not good and fruitful and ready for your work within us. And so I thank you for this man of God. And I thank you for the message that he's about to bring. I know that you will anoint his heart and his lips as he shares with us today. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Morning. They were kind enough to put up with me in student development and campus ministry for 20 years and never did get it right, so they've asked me to step away. And now, it's the same call that the Lord gave 20 years ago to come back to my alma mater, and I graduated 30 years ago last June. And it's the same call He gives and has given even just recently. It's the overarching call that He gives to you and He gives to me, gives to all of us, to know Him, to know Him intimately, and then to make Him known. And that call for me has been here at Asbury for the last 20 years. And even though the avenue of ministry and service may be a little different, God still has me here. I've been praying, my wife and I, my better half, we've been praying for the last year or so what the next season might be, not looking for anything other, because I've loved what I've done, and I still love what I'm doing, and love being in fellowship and doing life with some of the best, I believe, and we believe, best young people on the face of the earth, and it's been such a blessing, but God opened doors for me to stay here and for us to stay here, and we're looking forward to the ministry and service and extending His kingdom in and through what He wants to see happen at Asbury College. So I'm grateful. I'm blessed beyond belief. All the experiences and the relationships down through the years, and thankful for the difference so many of you have made in my life. So I'm thankful. I'm going to continue to keep Jesus first and foremost and serve Him in all things, and grateful for the days ahead. It's a new season, and I'm thankful for that. Well, we all have a lot to be thankful for. You're going to get off school for a few days. You're going to get to see family and friends. A few days to relax. I was meeting last night with some of the fellas who were sitting out here in front of me. We meet on Sunday evenings, and one of them said to me, "Yeah, I'm going to really take advantage of this next week." And I go home on Tuesday afternoon. I'm going to sleep until Saturday night. I'm not getting out of bed. He's exhausted. I said, "Well, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is get your rest. So do that." And but we're thankful for a few days away. We're thankful for a few days with family and with friends, a few days to rest. Aren't you thankful today for being able to gather in a place like this and praise Him and to worship Him, Lord of Lords, the one who took your sin and mine upon Himself and chose to go to the cross? Aren't you thankful for salvation today? Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit of God could come into your heart and mind in all of His fullness? Oh, we give praise to Him today. We thank Him today for that. This is the day that He's made. We've got to rejoice and be glad in it. In the midst of, you knew that was coming. In the midst of new days and new seasons, my goodness, He deserves to be praised. His people ought to be filled, you and me, with gratitude and with thoughtfulness. It's mixed up with a heart full of God that leads us to live lives that are full of thanksgiving. It's really thanksgiving. And it's not just this Thanksgiving week. But that's when the world kind of pauses and says thanks and gets a few days off and eats like there's no tomorrow. And oh, I'm looking forward to that. I'm grateful for my maternity genes. They expand during these days. Thankful even to be on YouTube recently. Thankful I even had hair in a few of those shots. But the reality is, oh, how thankful we all are that we can live with God and live for God. And no matter what we might be going through even this day, and even what we might face going home, it's not all pleasant for many of us. And yet the book says, the scriptures say, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks to God. Again, that's the heart and life of a Christian. Be able to live that kind of life of thanks living no matter what. We're going to talk about the lepers, the 10 lepers today. It's in Luke 17. You might want to turn to it and keep it open. We're going to go verse by verse. For just a few minutes, just want to share a short devotional on thankfulness. Luke 17, we're going to read verses 11 through 19. And remember, gratitude and thankfulness are such vital parts in the Christian life. With gratitude and thankfulness, you and I, we're able to please God. We're able to live lives fully and free. But without gratitude and without thankfulness, God's not honored. And oh, how we miss the blessing of giving praise to Him. No matter what the situation might be, no matter what you might be going through, praise Him. Thank Him. I don't understand it all. I stood a few years ago with a young Christian couple, friends of mine. A little white coffin wasn't any bigger than this. Just like this. And they're making ready to lay that in the ground. A little 5-month-old boy. Sudden infant death syndrome. No reason. Put him to bed, hug him, pray together. Next morning, he's gone. And certainly they were tearful. Their hearts were aching and breaking. So was mine. They just looked at me and said, "Stu, we're just thankful God gave us our son for 5 months." I said, "Our lives won't be the same because of the love we've shared." And then they said, "You know, we would never choose to do this. We would never do that. And yet God the Father chose to give His Son. We got to be thankful." I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. They gave a sermon to me that has changed me, the way I look at life and thankfulness and gratitude. So today we're going to look at a story, a true story from Luke 17. Jesus has an encounter with a group of lepers. Luke 17, we're going to begin in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And now one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And this one was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this stranger?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Trust the Lord, add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the embracing of His word this day. Well, our story opens up with Jesus, undoubtedly traveling with the disciples along this familiar dusty road between Samaria and Galilee. But He's traveling it, men and women, for the last time. He's traveling it for the last time. Verse 11 tells us He's on His way to Jerusalem, and He's on His way to Jerusalem to offer Himself up as a sacrifice for you and for me. He's crossing the countryside heading for a crown of thorns. He's crossing that countryside to pick up a cross that's built for thieves. He knows this way. He knows where He's going. He knows where He's heading. In verse 11, in some version it just says, "Now it happened." I love that little phrase, because it's telling us something's about to happen here. You need to take note. It happened. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real event in the lives of real people. The Bible is true. The book is true. It's the basis for all that we believe. It's the basis for all that we live by. Alex, Becky shared with us a few weeks ago in student chapel about being thankful and about seeking God and about starting days off slow in His presence so that we're ready to face the day, ending the day slow so we can give an open and honest account to Him, so He can show us, tell us, guide us, teach us. Are you thankful for the book? Are you thankful for His word? Are you in it each day? Is His Word hidden in your heart and in mine? Oh, it makes all the difference. I opened up my New Testament as I was on a plane, right as we were getting ready to take off. It's because I'm afraid to fly. And not really, it's not too bad. But a lady came and sat next to me. Actually, a seat in between us, right as we're getting ready to take off. She said, "Oh, you afraid too?" And I said, "Well, no, not really." I said, "A little bit anxious." I said, "I don't do well with heights and taking off." And I said, "You don't want me to get sick?" She said, "No, I don't." And so we took off, and I kept reading in the New Testament. And a little bit later, she said, "I'm thinking about reading the Bible, just for a historical perspective on things." And I said, "That'd be a wonderful place to start, but," I said, "be careful, it'll change you." It's changing me still. And all of a sudden, she burst into tears. And I said, "Well..." "I've done it again." "Said something I shouldn't have. I thought I was praying while I was saying, but I messed up." And I said, "I'm sorry." And she said, "I'm just going through a hard time in life right now." And she said, "2 weeks ago, one of my best friends lost their lives, and it was by their own hand." And she said, "I just don't know what to do." And I said, "Well..." I just said, "I'm so sorry." And I started showing her a few scriptures of God's comfort and God's love. And next thing you know, we landed in Atlanta. And she was going one direction and I was coming back to Lexington. And we stood in the middle of the Atlanta airport. I'm thinking, I'm never going to see her again. And so I said, "I'd give you this testament. But," I said, "my grandfather gave it to me." And she said, "I wouldn't want to take that from you." And I said, "No, I want you to have it." And she said, "No, I just want your prayers." And so we prayed right there. And I took her card, and I made sure she got a Bible, and I made sure she got plugged into a church back in Alabama where she was coming from. Oh, I was so thankful for God's Word that day. It helped somebody. It helped me, it helped her, it'll help you, it'll help others. Know the Word so that you can share it with others. Verse 12 tells us he entered a certain village. Jesus knew where he was going. He had a specific plan to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you think he was looking for those 10 lepers? Just as much as he's looking for you and for me today. Absolutely. The book says as he entered a certain village, he met 10 men there who were lepers, and they stood afar off. They stood at a distance. Can you just imagine this group of lepers? I'm telling you, they had to have exhausted all the possible avenues for healing. They'd tried everything. Every lotion, potion, and pill, every magician, everything. Every plant, leaf, animal part. They've done it all. They'd experienced failure after failure and rejection after rejection. Why'd they have to follow at a distance? Why'd they have to stand at a distance and afar off? They were social outcasts. They weren't allowed to be around other people that were clean. They experienced the loneliness of being separated from friends and family, some of us here as well. They longed to sleep in their own bed and to walk through the streets of their village, desired to be seen through the eyes of love instead of eyes that judged them and eyes that were filled with disgust that they saw from a distance. And though they'd been discouraged, they saw Jesus passing by. Said, if he's who he says he is, this is it. This is our last chance. We could be healed. They were ready to put their faith in Jesus, believing he can change our condition. He can change us. It's the same for us. He changes your condition. He changes you and he changes me. And aren't you thankful that he does? Again, they stood afar off and at a distance because according to the Jewish law, they had to. They had to keep their distance. People that didn't have leprosy didn't want to be anywhere near them. And if they would come around a corner and somebody would not be quite sure where they were or made a wrong turn and they'd come face to face with somebody, they had to cry out, "I'm unclean, get away." I'm unclean. I'm not worthy of you to even look at me or to be near me. Get away. Something in the lives of the lepers kept them from closing that distance between themselves and God and Lord Jesus. That leprosy, that disease, for us, the only thing that separates us from God is the disease of sin. That's the only thing that separates us. Without the cure of leprosy and the touch of the mercy of Jesus, those lepers are unable to be cleansed, unable to go home. Without the cure for sin and the touch of mercy from God, you're unable, and I'm unable to be cleansed and to go home. Again, thank God for salvation. Thank God for the fullness of His Spirit. Back to the story. How'd they get His attention? They cried out. Urgency. They cried out in urgency. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Help us. Only You can. And then Jesus had them step out in faith. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. You might be thinking, Lord, why don't You just reach out and touch them? Get it done. Well, it's interesting. Jesus was in line with the Jewish law. He followed and respected the law that God the Father had given to Moses. Leviticus 14 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. It'll be brought to the priest. It'll be brought to the priest. And so He gave it to him. He gave him the option. He responded to their cry just like He responds to yours and He responds to mine. Now they've got to choose. They've got to choose to respond to Him with obedience by going. They could have easily said, you've got to be kidding. We have tried that. We've done that again and again. Nothing has happened. But this time they knew they were calling out to the right person. They were calling out to Jesus. They were calling upon Him. And verse 14 says, at the latter part says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Jesus never did lay a hand on them. But as they obeyed His command to go, they were healed. It wasn't until they turned in obedience that they were healed. It's the same for you and it's the same for me as we respond in obedience to God. He'll give us that which we need each and every step of each and every day. Can you see the lepers with the bandages falling off that have been literally holding their digits on? They're all being thrown aside. Bony fingers and legs are taking shape. They're looking at each other going, oh my goodness. And they began to run with excitement, some of the versions say. They ran away. No longer did they have to worry about who they might run into. Can you imagine them running home? Pick up the kids, pick up the children. See their family, see their friends, don't have to worry about it. But then the scripture says we've got an example of one. I want to close about thinking as we think about this one. There was one. There was one who didn't run. There was one who didn't walk. There was one who stopped and turned around and closed the distance, and one who fell at the feet of Jesus and gave Him thanks. Verses 15 and 16 saying, one of them, he saw he was healed. He returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and gave him thanks. And this one was a Samaritan. Only one came back. Only one knelt at his feet. Only one came back to thank Him. Only one. And Jesus says in verse 17, were there not ten? Were there not ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? It's kind of a sad observation by Jesus. Where are the nine? I'd feel a whole lot more comfortable if He hadn't mentioned the nine, just bragged a little bit on the one and focused on that one. As I think too often, I'm more like the nine than I am the one. Not near as thankful for the things in life, even if they're difficult, realizing that He's with me. If He's allowed you to go through it, He's promised to give you everything that you need pertaining to the living of life and godliness. He'll give us everything we need. How many of us this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, can say that in the way we live our life, we're like the one who came back to Jesus? We're like the one, not like the nine that aren't grateful. He did the same thing for them as He did for the one. And yet he took the one a little farther. Thanksgiving's a tremendous, tremendous holiday. I love it. Family time. A day set apart to thank God for his blessings, his provisions for us. But we miss it all. We just think this is the week we really ought to be filled with thankfulness. We've got a heart that should be filled every day with thanksgiving. Thankful for the ones around us, thankful to each other, thankful especially, most of all, to God himself. We've got so much to be thankful for. God's been so good to us. All you have to do is to look back on your life, even if it's been difficult. You've seen that he's been there. He's been there trying to draw you close to himself and into his blessings. In your darkest hour, he's been there shedding light upon your path. In your most painful times, he's been there with his arms around you, holding you up, lifting you, carrying you. In the confusing times and areas of life, he's been there with his hand upon your shoulder and his gentle voice in your ear. During the lonely times, when it feels as if no one is near, no one does understand, the scriptures say he's closer than a brother, that he's the only one who'll never leave you nor forsake you. Give him thanks for that. He's done so much for each and every one of us. It's hard to imagine not being filled with gratitude and thoughtfulness and thanksgiving. I read not too long ago about an elderly lady. She could no longer take care of her place. She actually lived on a farm. And her mother had died and her dad had died, and she tried to take care of it and did the best she could. And then she became infirmed and lost her sight and went into this home. And before you knew it, she had another dread disease, cancer. It was in her upper body and on her face. And a young man said, I'm gonna do the things I need to do for a class. It was either college or a seminary. And said, I'm going to go visit. I'm going to go visit some of them. Some of them in that home. And he went. And it was the worst floor possible. When they came in, they said, we got a newbie. Let's put him down on that floor and let's see how he does. And they sent him down the roughest hall. And he came face to face with this one all crumpled over and sitting in a chair, slurred speech because of the cancer, blind. And he knelt down in front of her and he said, I'm just here to spend some time with you. How are you doing? And she said, well, they tell me I've now been here over 20 years. And I don't have any family. My three roommates, all they do is shriek. They don't even know who they are or where they are. I still have my mind. I'm telling you, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. You see, Jesus has been good to me, she said. He's been so good to me, you know. And then she sang to him, Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me. The fellow walked out of there and was telling people, and they go, that can't be true. He said, no, it is true. I saw it with my own eyes. And he went back every week for a year. And he said, I'd never been the same because of that life that was so well lived. Full of thankfulness, blind, decrepit, going through everything that she is going through, and yet Jesus has been so good to me. Unbelievable witness. Men and women, he's done so much for you and he's done so much for me. Do we live thankful lives? I'm afraid at times I've had so much I haven't been thankful for hardly anything. The spiritual opportunities are all around us, even in these coming days as we head home. I know it's not easy for many of you going into tough places, and yet the light of Jesus needs to shine through. You need to be able to drop his name in conversation. You need to be able to tell others how thankful you are for what God is doing in you. Are you like the many, the nine, or are we like the one? How do we really thank him? I'm going to close in about 2 minutes. It's wonderful when we take the time to thank one another. I love sending cards for the CPO, getting cards for the CPO, encouragements, thanks. We need to do that more for one another, and we certainly need to do it for God. So, three ways quickly as we close how we can thank God. We're going to thank him with our lips, thank Him with our lives, and thank Him with our livelihood. We thank Him with our lips. We praise Him face to face, not just standing here singing together, whether it's hymns or whether it's everything else we sing so beautifully. It's all a wonderful aroma to Yahweh. But praise Him with our lips. Praise Him in front of others. Hebrews 13:16 says, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess His holy name. Thank Him with your lips. Thank Him with your life. We absolutely can live lives in such a way that it can be an example and a witness of what Jesus has done, what He's done for us, what He's done in us, and what He wants to do through us. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ has. Thank Him with your lips. Thank Him with your life. Thank Him with your livelihood. We thank Him by giving back a portion of what He's given to us. You all have been so gracious. We've never had two offering focuses in the same semester, ever. And we raised $4,500 for all God's children in the Sunrise Children's Services at Fall Revival. And then we've raised right at $7,000 for the Langalanga tribe. You think they're not going to be thankful when they hold God's word in their hands this coming spring for the first time ever? Oh, they're going to be thankful. It's because you've given. We still need about $900. Some still need to give. I still need to give a little more, I believe. But give of your substance, no matter where, no matter whom you're with. He'll multiply it. He'll make a difference for eternity's sake as we live for Him and thank Him with our lips and our life and our livelihood. Some of us today, as we close in prayer, may need to just close the distance between yourself and God before you're able to even thank Him. As we bow our heads in just a moment, you may want to fall at His feet. Build an altar right there where you stand. Remember, the one that came back, that one leper that was cleansed, came back and he was made whole. The other ones were healed physically. The one that came back and was made whole was healed physically and spiritually. If you've got to choose, take spiritual. It's going to last forever and a day. This old body's going to wear out. Let's commit to thanking Him this week with our lips and our life and our livelihood. Would you commit today to a life of thankfulness, to a life of thanks living, so the world's going to look and see, oh my goodness, that's the difference God can make in a life. That's the difference that Jesus can make in a life. Be filled with gratitude, thoughtfulness, thanksgiving to one another, even the ones who have harmed us. Thank God that you can love them and forgive them. First and foremost, be thankful to Him because He gave His all so that you might have all of Him. Let's stand together and have a closing prayer. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are so thankful for Your love. We're so thankful for the plan of salvation. So thankful that the Lord Jesus, You, Lord, took all of our sin upon Yourselves and went to the cross. We're so thankful that You stayed there until it was finished. We're so thankful that You rose again so that we can live in resurrection power. We're so thankful that You gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be free, free from sin and self, to be able to live fully for You. Thankful, Lord, for each person who's here. Thankful for the way in which You've called us to serve and minister together here at Asbury, whether we're students or faculty or staff or administration. You've united us together as a family of faith. We don't always agree, but Lord, when we do disagree, we want to resolve, Lord, to love and unite to serve You and all others. Thank You for these days of thanksgiving, a few days to rest and to be with family. Some will need to stay here. Lord, we pray Your blessings upon ones that travel, ones that stay. Pray that we'll be able to thank You and to serve You and to thank You with our lips and our lives and our livelihood. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, you give us the reason to live and to love. It's found in you. And so we bless you today. We thank you for a new season, Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas, a new year coming, new possibilities as we walk closely with you. We don't want to miss your will, Lord. We want your very best. So I pray you for your very best, and I pray your blessings upon each one. Each one here, Lord, bless us so that we can go out and be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving us everything that we need to live this life and then to face eternity, to hear you say, well done. Oh, we bless you. We tell you again and again, Lord Jesus, how we love you. Go with us. Keep us safe in the center of your will until we're together again to be able to praise you and to give thanks unto you for all things. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. And all God's family said, amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving.